Hello and welcome into episode number 262 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
It's going to be a great show today because we have facts. We are prepared. It sounds sarcastic, but it's not.
It's also the closest to live that you're ever going to get.
That's true. It is stupid early in the morning. Way too early for people that often work in bars at night.
Yeah. Thank you for the power outages.
Yeah.
That was yeah. Super helpful all weekend.
Yeah. So much wind here in D.C. Yeah. But anyway, I want to go right into facts because no one cares about wind anymore.
Very true.
Except for birds.
Definitely not the coal industry.
No, except for birds if they're near wind turbines.
Yeah. Never goes badly.
Yeah. Okay, so who would like to kick us off?
I think Nick should kick us off.
All right.
You want me to go first? Okay. It is, I'm not going to date this podcast, but let's go ahead and say the first 2 weeks of February.
The first 2 weeks of February, I was there. I existed. Confirmed. Yes, they existed. I win.
In the first 2 weeks of February, and I'll do a give or take here. I'll give you a window of 20.
20, okay.
How many earthquakes occurred in Yellowstone Park in the first 2 weeks of February?
Yellowstone National Park.
All right, yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I did not experience an earthquake for the couple days that we were there. This was, I don't know how, 20 years ago probably at this point. So my basis of knowledge is not a lot.
Isn't it amazing how when you start looking back on things and you go, you know what, that was 20 years ago. And it actually was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That was, in my mind, 1995 was like 10 years ago. And it wasn't even close.
Right.
That's not anywhere close. But yeah, first 2 weeks of February, how many earthquakes?
Okay. Well, I know that there's a lot of geysers in Yellowstone.
Yes, Old Faithful.
Well, there's
Old Faithful, yeah. Yeah. Which, by the way, stay on the marked paths if you do go to Yellowstone, because some guy didn't and then died from, like, the heat, water, and, like, yeah, it was bad.
He got, like, boiled to death?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So stay on the paths, people.
So which way is better? Is boiled to death or thrown, like, 400 feet in the air and dying by landing the better way to go?
I would think getting thrown.
Yeah, no, I think
I don't know, we've
that
all...
impact is sudden. It's quick, very painless. Boiled to death, not so much.
But you've got to go up first before coming down. You know it's coming.
No, well, I guess when you're going up, you're in the boiling water.
That's true, too. I guess it's not one or the other. In my case, it's both.
So, I don't know. No, I've seen that scene with, what was it, Angelina Jolie, Denzel Washington movie, The Bone Collector, with the steam.
God. Referencing to something. Talk about something that's 20 years ago.
Yeah, seriously.
I just saw Memento for the first time.
I was trying in my head to put together Angelina Jolie and Denzel Washington.
I couldn't do it.
I cannot remember what movie she's talking about. But yeah, no, I actually read the book The Bone Collector before the movie came out. I was really excited.
Oh,
wait,
did you hear that, Michael? Yeah. You read the book.
I was really excited for the movie to come out, and then I was massively disappointed.
As per
in the
a
end
lot
result.
Of things.
Yeah.
This is like any movie that comes out that was a book first. How do you know if somebody's read the book first? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
They will tell you. Yeah, it's like the original, like, hipster thing. Like, I think, I knew about it.
I knew this story before it was cool.
Before it was mainstream and before it was, you know, a film.
Why do you have to have the lisp affectation
to
your hipster voice?
It wasn't trying to be a lisp. It was trying to be like a... I don't know.
Those of you, obviously, with the audio podcast, you couldn't tell, but she's doing the very fancy hand motions
right,
as
yeah,
well.
Exactly.
The lisp was not intended.
Holding a glass of port.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
See, he did the fancy voice.
Okay,
you did some sort of weird affectation.
It's too early. I'm sorry. And I'm not good at voices. We know this. This is never something I claim to be good at, and I never mean to insult anyone, but I always end up insulting everyone.
Somebody.
Everyone.
Oh, all the people all
okay,
the time.
Okay, so to your point, earthquakes in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I have no real reason or no sense of anything per usual. You're giving me a range within 20, so I'm going to say there are – what's the scale on this? Like, what are you considering an earthquake? Just anything that measures on the Richter scale?
So anything that measures on the Richter scale, in this case, the highest one was the 2.7. So
okay.
they're not significant earthquakes, but they are measurable and
felt.
Yes. They're felt by the Richter scale. I don't know if they're felt by a person. They're significant geologically. Let me put it that way.
Okay. I'm going to say then 157.
Okay.
I'm going to say first 2 weeks of February, 14.
14
one a day
for the first 2 weeks of February. Wow, that's that. Michael had some significant logic going in there.
There you go.
Lindsay threw out a number.
Per use.
There were 200 earthquakes in Yellowstone in an 8 square mile section of Yellowstone.
Whoa.
In the first 2 weeks of February.
It's been a while since, you know, my high school geology class or anything silly like that. The earthquakes aren't what cause Old Faithful to erupt, correct?
No. Okay. No, just that's not it. Yeah, it's not like a one-to-one. It's not like they are. I mean, there are always a lot of earthquakes in that area.
Sure.
It is a geologically active section of the world. But yeah, it's not like that's what causes. I don't think. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's not the case. This is the important part. It's how I came upon this information. We'll have a link to the article on all this stuff. I came upon this information because of collective nouns.
Okay.
I'm sure by this point...
Draw us a line there,
yeah,
Nick.
I'm sure by this point you all know that I am a huge fan of collective nouns.
Yep.
I always like collective nouns. The, you know, what is it? It's a blessing of unicorns, a parliament of owls.
That's true. That's like
murder of crows.
A murder of crows. Yeah,
an army of frogs.
A troop of apes. An ambush of tigers. So
embarrassment of pandas.
Yeah. There are great a collection of other people's kids.
Annoying.
It's called a nope.
Oh. Close. I was so close.
You were all over it. Yeah. But the collective noun for earthquakes is actually a swarm. It's a swarm of earthquakes.
Which actually makes sense because isn't that one of the Pokemon moves? For
a rock.
Yeah,
Pokemon.
There's one of the rock Pokemon. Where's Joey when I need him? There's a rock Pokemon with a swarm move. But to go back a few seconds ago or minutes ago, I don't know. So less than 2.0 is a micro earthquake. People cannot feel these, and there's about 8,000 of those around the world each day.
Yeah.
And then people start to feel them, but there's not damage around 3 to 3.9. Light 4 to 4.9 is when house are disturbed and noise. And
yeah, that's what we had in
DC
a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That was the one that messed up the Washington Monument.
Yeah, and there's about 6,200 of those a year. The moderate ones, you know.
Okay, Michael, would you like to educate us on earthquakes,
no,
Mr. Southern California?
Lindsay's got it.
Yeah.
One earthquake in 5 years. It messed
5 years is one earthquake in 20 years, and it did. It screwed up the building.
No, I remember. I moved right after. It was
my legs were wobbly.
Yeah, I honestly, my car shook. It did rock back and forth, and I thought it was just a stiff breeze coming down Wisconsin Avenue, in between the buildings or something.
Yeah.
And then everybody was outside of their buildings. I'm like, what the heck is going on? This is ridiculous. Everybody's outside. And then turned the radio and was like, earthquake in D.C. And I'm like, oh, that's what that was.
The scale is so interesting because, the difference between a 2 and a 4, it's like, okay, sometimes things are damaged. And the difference between a 7 and an 8 is nuts. 7, it's like, this is damage, you know, seriously over large areas. And it occurs about 18 per year for major. And then the next scale is 8 to 9.9, which is great. And that's when it's the massive damage. And there's only one of those per 20 years. And then 10 plus, it's like, that's never happened, knock on wood. And, you know, it's, it's
so
not
those
great.
Are the day after tomorrow is the, what was the movie set in L.A., John Cusack.
I don't know.
No,
was that 2012?
2012, yeah.
Oh, 2012.
I think that was a whole different thing. I know Earthquake was a piece of it, but that was an end of the world movie.
Okay.
Memory serves.
Joey says that it's a rock, the swarm, it's an ability, not a move, but it is for rock types and bug types.
Thank
so Pokemon
you, Joey.
Pokemon doing their research.
Fact of the day.
Yeah. Cool. And the largest earthquake ever recorded is 9.5, the Great Chilean Earthquake in 1960. Just bonus earthquake facts I'm throwing at you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how you took my interesting fact and just rolled with it and everything else you can come up with.
I shook with it. I'm sorry. Okay. All right, Michael.
Can I go now? Yes.
So, speaking, Joey's going to get a kick out of this as long as we mention Joey
on
it.
He's not here, but.
We
actually this weekend competed in a, couple anti-dating show, and if we in front of an audience, it was a comedy show.
Sure.
And if we lost, we had to break up, but we won.
All right,
shout out Carly Ann Philbin, thanks, it was fun. Anyway,
is there a video of that anywhere?
A couple videos, yeah, here and there.
So
he got the question right of why I cried last time, and it was because of a dog video. anyway
So speedruns. Nick, I know you're familiar with this.
Intimately familiar.
Lindsay,
with
are
them.
You familiar what speedruns are?
Okay,
in
let
video
me guess.
Games? Okay.
It is when you try to run through the game as fast as you can doing the objective.
Yes. Dead on the money, actually.
Right. Cool. It's fun. You try to do that with really anything.
Right. You try to finish a game from start to finish in the shortest period.
The whole game or like a level?
Generally, it's the whole game.
Yeah.
I mean, there are microcosms of speedruns, but generally a speedrun, the run is the entire game.
What would be the speedrun for Breath of the Wild? Because I've seen him play that. Is that
the
question?
That is exactly what my question is going to be.
Oh my gosh. I just was throwing that out there because I was like, I know, like, it took him 5 hours to find a shirt the other day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. And
no, I'm serious.
I'm playing through it the second time. It's an amazing game. I know Joey's a big fan. Anytime I see him, we talk about it. And there are two different speedruns. So basically the way Breath of the Wild is because it's open world and you can kind of go anywhere and do anything, including the final level right off the bat, they categorize it two different ways. So the fastest speedrun, basically from start to just, I'm just going to do the one thing, beat the boss, beat the game, is about 40 minutes.
40 minutes for the whole game?
It's slightly over 40 minutes.
How is that possible? Because I feel like don't you need stuff to do stuff?
Not necessarily.
So I haven't played the game at all.
Right.
But I am assuming, based on my knowledge of video games and speedruns, that you can beat Ganon.
Yeah.
Is it Ganon the boss?
It's Ganon.
Okay. I'm assuming you can beat Ganon with a stick. It just takes a much longer period of time than beating him with the Master Sword.
Exactly.
Right, you'd have to hit him 10,000 times instead of 50 times.
Right,
right. But if you're hitting him 10,000 times, how are you doing that in 40 minutes?
Well, that's because as soon as you finish the quote-unquote tutorial, you can run straight to it.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, but they kind of the so second category
that, huh?
is kind of what they call the 100%.
Oh.
So it's going through basically what Joey's doing right now. It's you go through, you collect,
finding the shirts,
climbing the waterfalls, finding all the shrines.
I love Legend of Zelda. It's such
so
a great bridge.
I did not purposely sit down to watch him play this video game, but I'll have it like on the TV because he's got a Switch thing, and it was like, oh man, I spent 15 minutes watching him beat
a
boss. I was like, I have no interest in this whatsoever, but I'm invested now.
So Sarah used to, for my birthdays, used to buy me whatever the newest Zelda game was.
Yeah,
and
great
she
present.
Would buy the walkthrough book.
Oh yeah,
like the big giant.
Did
like,
the internet make those obsolete?
Magazines. The internet pretty much made those obsolete.
Yeah.
I love those. I had them for all the like the Pokemon Game Boy games.
Yeah. So, but Sarah would sit down next to me. Like that's what we would do for the 2 weeks following my birthday. Was we would sit down together, and she'd go, "Okay, page one." And I would play the game while she went through the walkthrough.
I will not do that, but that's really cute. Okay, Michael, so you're asking us what 100% completion of this game
is. Yeah, so what it means is collecting all 900 Korok seeds, which basically expand your inventory, completing every shrine, and filling out the photo album within the game, too. Which
you have to fill out the photo album?
Yeah, so I believe there's 16 different pictures, and you got to go around.
Oh, right, because those are the memories, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
so
I know.
So doing all of that and beating the boss, Kotaku posted what they believe is the first one. How fast is that? How fast did it happen?
Who is the first one that did this? Is like a professional gamer that just did this for weeks? Because I think Breath of the Wild just had its 1 year anniversary of release. Correct?
Right.
Yeah.
It's Zalika, I think is the screen name. He's a French language speedrunner.
Okay. Oh. Oh,
so,
a speedrunner. He's got like an official title on his business card.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. No, these things are always much, much less than you would assume that they would be. So, you know, beating the final boss in 40 minutes, that makes sense.
That makes zero sense.
No. It absolutely does. Knowing speedruns the way I know them, that makes sense. What's the speedrun record for the original like Super Mario Brothers?
It's three and a half minutes. It's really...
Yeah, from beginning to end, it takes 3.5 minutes to beat Super Mario Brothers. And I've seen
people... Well, you just have to be perfect, though.
Yeah, you just have to make every jump and be 100% perfect and go in the right direction, go the right path. You can't beat every level, but if you get to the right warp pipes and you go to the right places and you beat the right parts of it...
You skip the entire world.
It really is. You only play, like, three levels.
Just going to give you a little thing. Like I said, you got to collect all 900 Korok seeds.
Right.
Every shrine, there are 120 shrines.
Uh-huh.
And let me look up how much are in the photo albums for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that it's going to take, I'm going to say it's going to take less than a day.
Less than a day?
Less than a day. I'm going to say like somewhere between 18 and 19 hours. So
what?
I'm going to say 18 and a half hours. I'm probably way off base, but that's, these speedrunners work on like how specifically to move through the game in order to decrease the amount of like, effort necessary in order to accomplish
this. Does this include getting all of the stuff?
Yeah, that's the Korok seeds. That's the
they have every single type of shirt.
Probably it doesn't look like it.
Okay, because I was gonna say that's what takes so much in these games is like finding the specific things that make the tasks easier.
But if you already know where they are, and these guys do know where they are, this isn't the first time going blind.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, he wasn't doing this blind.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he's it's mapped like the
professional
out
rock climbers.
That's
that
exactly.
Know
yeah,
what
they
their
map
path
out
is.
The course.
Okay. Well, he's saying 18, 19 hours, and you have way more experience with video games as in any experience with video games. But I think that it's still longer than that because that. The only thing I know about this game is that it's huge.
Oh, it's massive.
Massive. So I'm going to say it would take 33 and a half hours.
All right. Lindsay is actually closer.
Okay.
Oh,
49 hours. Just 49.
Over
49
wow.
hours.
Just over 2 days. Okay.
Yeah, just under 2 days.
Over 2 days.
Sorry, just over 42. Just
a full
work it is.
Yeah.
It's early.
Now, did he take a break and pick it back up and restart the clock, or was it consecutive?
I'm still looking. I think he took a break. He's
yeah.
taken break. He took nap breaks and stuff
right.
like that. And I think the clock still ran when he was doing that.
Oh, okay. So
wow.
you had to factor in napping into making
right.
it happen. Got it.
It said he's quoted here. I had a good start in the first 24 hours. Then I hit 30 hours. It was hard for me. I felt like the run wasn't going to end, so I decided to take a nap break.
Yeah, amateur.
Right, because you need that like to be able to think. Like once you
right.
get tired, you can't remember
no.
stuff. Oh yeah.
No. coming from somebody who did set a Guinness World Record, although Guinness doesn't accept it because they're terrible people. Yeah.
Well, the guy that tried to do that and like binge watch and stayed awake, he was had some medical issues after that. You like have to sleep at some point. But yeah, cool. Okay, so my fact.
Yep.
Would you guys like a transportation fact or a historical fact?
Ooh, it's like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, choose your own adventure. The other one I'll use next week.
Transportation.
Can I go historical transportation? Like trolley cars or something?
No.
I'll go transportation just to make the vote
unanimous.
Okay.
All right, cool. Well, the next week one is going to be real exciting. And this one is also kind of exciting. So Uber, it's a big thing. You've used it.
I've heard of it.
So the website Champion Traveler took 24 cities. They figured out that the average They wanted to figure out the average cost of a 6.2-mile or 10-kilometer Uber ride in cities around the world. So they pulled data, pricing data from their fare estimation tool in 24 global cities. They used a baseline for an Uber X style, not a black car. They found that the average Uber ride travels at 27 miles per hour. So this is the price per minute because that changes among cities as well.
Sure.
So they went through all this data. And my question is, which international city has the highest cost for a 10-kilometer or 6.2-mile Uber ride in the world? So if you were going to like, I'm going to take the most expensive Uber I can, and this is not Uber Black, but it adjusted to the Uber X prices
sure,
because some
right.
cities don't have Uber X, but they did
so
some calculations.
Uber, all right, you're more of an Uber person than I am.
Yeah.
Is Uber based on distance, or is it based on time, or is it a combination of the
two? It's combination of both.
Okay. That's why that's important. They
right.
calculated the price per minute plus their they used the fare estimate plus you know
right.
the rest of the thing. So they went through and it seems like they
yeah.
did that. There's a couple bullet points under methodology.
So is it first off?
Okay.
Is it international or is it United States?
International.
Yeah, I heard global cities.
Yes.
You did say global cities.
Ghost?
I'm saying No. You yeah. said that. I'm saying is the answer going
oh,
to
right.
be
oh,
an
oh,
international city or is it going to be a U.S. city?
Gotcha.
What do we think on that?
I have three or four cities in mind
okay.
right now.
Are all of them international?
No.
Okay.
I'd say one
uh-huh.
is local, national, and the rest are international.
Okay. I also have three or four pretty much in the same boat.
I also, the one thing that I don't know, they picked cities from North America, South America, Africa, Europe, Asia. Like they hit some on each continent, but
sure.
I don't know how they determine what city. It's not based on population. It's not based.
Sure.
So there could be a city on here that they didn't use, but they, I think, have hit the major one, except DC is not listed. Ugh.
Right. All right.
Okay.
So what are you thinking? I bet you there's overlap between
you
and me.
No, I think you and me are probably on the same page here.
Okay.
If I had to guess, gut reaction, either London or Tokyo.
Tokyo was my first thought.
Yeah. I was leaning towards London.
Tokyo or Taiwan or Hong Kong.
I don't see. My thought is maybe China doesn't allow Uber into those areas.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, Tokyo would be best. Locally,
I got to say New York,
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah,
that's what I would think. Considering what was my interesting, did I have an interesting fact last week? That was the I did. My interesting fact last week was the average rent. San Francisco for
it?
A two-bedroom.
No, that was not your fact.
Did we? Maybe that was a question we asked last week. Then on Wednesday, was the average rent in San Francisco for a two-bedroom apartment?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah,
you didn't have a fact last week because that
you're
was
right. I didn't. I bounced out, and you made you do both.
Yes.
Okay. So what's your guesses?
I'm gonna stick with London.
I'm gonna go with Tokyo.
Okay. London is in the top 10, but not number one overall, with $17.55. This was using the February 2018 currency exchange rates, by the way.
Okay.
And in first, at $40.86. $40.86, Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Well, yeah.
Tokyo, yeah. Second was Rome with $27.25. So it was a huge drop-off from,
right, from
Tokyo
first
cost
second,
to
yeah.
Rome. And then third was an American city.
Neither one of us named it?
No.
Okay. Austin, Texas.
No.
They might not have Uber right now. I don't know if they ever got it back.
Honolulu.
Oh, that makes sense.
Honolulu, followed by Munich, New York, Sydney, London, Anchorage, which I don't know, you know, this is doesn't have
that's because
all the
there's
cities.
Only one car. Yeah. He can charge whatever he wants in Anchorage.
Yeah, so that is my
and
fact.
He doesn't drive for Lyft.
Yeah. So that's
that
–
How long, Michael, if she had said, name the one U.S. city in the top 10, would it have taken us to get Honolulu or Anchorage?
I think they didn't count all of the U.S. cities.
Right,
but
right.
I think it's – like, I don't know what Boston would be in comparison. I'm sure we could use their calculations to figure it out. But
well, yeah, my thought, if New York was on there, then, like, D.C.'s got to be less than New York. Not by much, but
– right. Right. I tell you what, we're not going to do that, but if you, the listener, would like to work that out and respond in a comment to let us know where Boston falls and D.C. on the list, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Thank
so,
you.
Well, that's
and what the hell, Portland, you're out there too.
Yeah.
According to Champion
Traveler.
I think
it's just a pair of wool socks for right. Portland, right?
Yeah, okay, so what's our fact, y'all?
You mean our secret phrase?
That's what I meant.
Yes. I think what's our fact, y'all, should be our secret phrase.
There you go.
Okay, sorry. Woo! We should not ever do this in the morning. I don't know what's worse, doing this in the morning or when we're hungry.
Morning.
Morning's
worse.
We all agree.
Have you had
like
breakfast?
It's like the drunk cast. I had a piece of toast.
Okay, because I was going to say, morning when you haven't eaten.
That's true.
It's
got to be the worst.
Okay, well, stay tuned next week for my fact. It will be about history and presidents. There will be a presidential history. Fact.
Well, as long as we're teasing facts, my fact next week is going to be about a very famous writer.
Oh, a famous writer.
A famous writer that retired last year. I don't think he got enough news coverage.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I've got a great fact for next week. It's about tantric dinosaur sex.
Oh, wow.
And
can't
Nick takes the gold.
Can't wait for that. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, actually, you know, now that I think of it, well, there's lots of eggs involved, but I'm picturing some T-Rexes with their tiny little arms. And it's like, how would they spoon? What are they doing after? No, I'm kidding.
I was thinking right. Stegosaurus. Like, how do you spoon to be a Stegosaurus?
Right? Oh, my God.
Keep that in your minds now for the next week.
We got to talk to somebody at the Smithsonian about dinosaur reproduction, which because there's eggs involved. I don't know.
If anybody at the Smithsonian is listening.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. There
I'm,
definitely
no, I'm
are.
Certain they are.
So this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.